You're listening to Unscripted, the podcast by Scripted.com.
Welcome back to the Unscripted Podcast. My name is Ryan Buckley. I am the CEO and co-founder of Scripted.com, and I'm joined today by Guy Yalief, the CEO and co-founder of IntelliMize. Guy, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Ryan. It's a pleasure to join you.
So we've actually known each other for a couple of years now. We tried to hire you for a marketing position here, and you wound up at a startup called Twitter instead, and have held a number of really interesting leadership roles at small and large companies in the Bay Area. For our listeners' knowledge, could you just tell us about your background and the various companies that you've worked for?
Thanks for asking. Yeah, by training. I studied mechanical and aerospace engineering, spent half of college coding artificial intelligence to design airplanes, which ties now to what I'm doing, and thought I'd be doing that for the rest of my life and love the idea. Instead, like you, I tried consulting in B school and then spent the last 20 years in Silicon Valley, roughly half as a product guy, roughly half as a marketer, most of it in paid media, and have been privileged to work with a lot of really amazing people across Yahoo in its heyday, Twitter, as you shared in early days through IPO, Brightroll through its acquisition at Yahoo, and then a little startup called Tradeweave way back in the web 1.0 days through its acquisition. So it's, a lot of enjoyable experiences in this incredibly small valley and industry in which we work.
Yeah, and it looks like, did you meet your co-founders at Yahoo?
I did.
Cool.
I did. We had the privilege of working together for 3 years, like 12 years ago, and have been hoping to find something that inspired us at the same time, and it happened with IntelliMize.
Yeah, I mean that's great. Now, this is also the first company that you've founded and been CEO of, right? This is your first CEO position?
Definitely my first CEO gig, and humbling to be a year and change into it.
I was going to ask, how do you like it?
Sure, I'm getting a lot wrong. We'll keep improving, and at the same time, so far so great. You know, for me, this role is a lot about building a business, creating an environment and culture that are fun and productive to operating in. I mean, like, I'm doing this because I can't imagine a more fun way to spend the next several years of my life. You know, my my two co-founders and I are privileged, as you brought up earlier, to work together before, and we're really lucky to have really extraordinarily great relationships, and we want to preserve that to make work fun every day as we grow. You know, someone I respect a lot said once to me that CEO stands for Chief Emotional Officer, and I think there's a lot to it. Like, you're even in the, you know, tight, small environment, like, you're always on stage. People look at the look on your face, the way you carry yourself, the way you walk down the hall, the tone of your voice. And you're often, you know, the one that folks are looking to say, hey, is this okay? Is this a problem? And you need to know that and be thoughtful about it. And I feel like, you know, this job is a privileged one to reinforce culture and help people feel better about what they're doing every day.
I think that's the right way to look at it, and certainly makes every day different, and also makes it really rewarding to, like you said, have the privilege of being in this role. So let's question about IntelliMize. Well, what's the origin story there? Why did you guys build it and decide to focus on this problem?
It came out of being a marketer for about a decade or so. In my last job, I was privileged to lead marketing for a programmatic video advertising company, an amazing team at Brightroll. And I was very fortunate to have like a team of 30 and change, marketing budget in eight figures, like low eight figures, but eight figures. We optimized the pieces out of our paid media. Yeah, right. We had a lot of resources to go drive revenue. We drove all the traffic that we acquired through paid media to our website, And there we wanted people to do standard B2B things, you know, ask for a demo, consume some thought leadership content, sign up for an event. And how much did we optimize that? Nothing. With all those resources, it made no sense to us. We were like, hold on, this bottom of the funnel is not being optimized at all. Yet these are the most expensive people to lose. They're the most qualified because they've gone to your site. We couldn't believe nobody had tackled this problem in a way that worked really well for marketers. And we think every marketing team of scale should be going after this. My background in paid media lent itself well to some of the techniques we're doing. My co-founder's background in machine learning helped us bring this to life in a capital efficient way that would really solve the problem well for marketers. And there was, you know, frankly, just too much money sitting here not to go after it.
Yeah.
And then to the thing you mentioned before, frankly, perhaps just as importantly, but like as co-founders, we've known each other for years. We like each other. We have shared values.
Yeah.
And we've hoped to do something together for a long time.
That's really great. Yeah, it's an impressive team of co-founders. And how many folks are working on Intellimize now? Is it still
that
just the three of you?
Generous of you to share. It is the three of us. We were fortunate to have some phenomenal investors be willing to join us in this journey and raised a seed round a few weeks ago. And with that, we're starting to hire. So we're now at five.
Wow.
And we'll be growing more this year in a capital efficient way.
So could you just describe, like, at a high level, what Intellimize does for, you know, for like typical SMB marketer that is more on the, say, the qualitative end of the spectrum than the quantitative, how does Intellimize help them?
So maybe I'll even speak a little more broadly to give context to that SMB marketer who's a little more qualitative. And, you know, site optimization and personalization overall as a space is a lot about just driving revenue. You know, mm-hmm. a marketer whose tail's on the line for more customers or more revenue, they tend to find these solutions attractive. You know, tools in this space try showing different versions of a web page, like, you know, version A or version B. To visitors, and then they track which one tends to correlate with more conversions and more revenue. So like if A does better, well, then it's declared the winner of the test and engineers make it into the website. And A is now shown to everyone as the new standard experience driving more revenue. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And in traditional A-B testing, marketers don't get much benefit until they actually become sort of mini statisticians, managing a bunch of experiments, trying out an idea at a time. They're focused by existing tools on reaching statistical significance, which means that the performance between A and B is so different. They're actually statisticians would say that's not by chance, that there's a real difference there. And they do that to pick a winner. They can use that to choose the right content on a site or the right call to action or the right interaction. And marketers kind of don't get any benefit from their optimization and until that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a motivator for us to try to build something different.
Hmm. Okay. So like what are some like real tangible examples of things that a marketer might want to test or change that could drive real conversions to downstream, like through their funnel?
We have customers that are trying as many things as one could imagine as a marketer. Some of the things that have done well in different situations. One, changing your forms. People tend mm-hmm. to ask for too much information on forms, and it turns out if you pre-populate stuff, if you remove stuff, that can lift conversion. Other things they've tried changing interactivity on their site, like adding an abandon modal. And what I mean by that is, you know, if somebody moves their mouse on the desktop off the browser window, meaning they're probably going to hit the forward button or the back button or put in a new URL, you know, pop up a modal, pop up a message to them saying, hey, here's a discount. Would you like to stay? Or here's some information. Would you like to stay? And others have tried pulling information from one part of the site to another. We had one customer that took information that was two clicks away but was really actually relevant on this landing page and hold it into that landing page just to see if that would drive lift. And it did. So it's, you know, existing tools tend to push people to do smaller stuff like test button colors, but we really encourage our customers to think more broadly and think, you know, the whole experience is your canvas to work with to motivate your prospect to convert the way you want them to. Make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. So would you say this process works best for B2B or B2C? Is this more of an enterprise tool or a small business tool, or does it work for everybody?
In talking to a couple hundred businesses and working with companies of all sizes across B2B and B2C, we see this works well for marketers who's tailor on the line for a number. Like somebody who gets up every day and says, hey, I got to generate more customers or I got to generate revenue. That's often somebody with the title head of growth or head of demand gen. And people in those roles with companies that then have a specific digital action they want their prospects to take, they see a lot of value in this. So this tends to mean, you know, performance industries like finance, e-commerce, lead gen, travel. They see value particularly easily from this. The true SMB marketer, like in my previous life, I was privileged to lead a bunch of Yahoo small business, and we served a lot of sole proprietors. They tend to probably find less value in this because you want to be people tend to be full-time marketers when they're going to invest in something like this.
Yeah, yeah.
To your question about B2B, we built IntelliMize differently from the ground up to work with low traffic sites. And all of B2B tends to be low traffic. So they tend to get benefit from this, whereas, you know, the existing things that are out there tended not to have worked as well for them before.
So you found ways to get the statistical significance even with if the numbers aren't very high. Like the traffic's relatively low.
You know, yes, and we did that by not changing the laws of stats, mm-hmm. right? That math changed, but by actually solving a different problem. Like I as a marketer saw statistical significance as a means to an end, as did many of the other marketers I talked to. That end was conversions, and so what we chose to do was to build a system from the ground up that optimizes for conversions rather than significance right from the beginning. And the result then is some pretty major differences from traditional A/B testing. One is that you get results a whole lot faster because you don't wait for statistical significance. Like most of our customers have a wow moment, I don't know, hours, a day, 2 days after going live, because the machine learning is updating itself continuously. Two, you get better results. You don't have one winner shown to everybody, but rather you show the right thing to each individual prospect. Because, you know, the thing that motivates you to convert is going to be potentially different than the thing that motivates me. And three, you do less work. You know, we happen to offer coding to our customers, so we'll code the ideas for them. And then the machine learning automates all the experiment management, the calling winners, the statistical analysis, so that we, as former marketers, can help make our customers sort of, you know, into heroes. Like our goal isn't to build a great tool. Our goal is to make our customers heroes. And with that in mind, we then, you know, report out on all of it with transparency, which is a long-winded answer to how did we get around statistical significance? And the core is we didn't. We just chose to solve a different problem.
That does make sense. So does IntelliMize work on any framework or platform? Would it work just as well on say like a WordPress site, and would it work on like a Weebly or a MoPro site?
Yes, happily. It works, and the reason the answer is yes is because it works client side. It will work with a single page app or WordPress or a homegrown CMS or flat HTML, because it's taking the output of all of those and then modifying that in the browser as the page is rendering.
Cool. So for those folks that don't know what all of that means exactly, what it boils down to, and correct me if I'm wrong, Guy, but that would mean you're just copying and pasting like a little bit of JavaScript, which is like this tiny little bit of code that would sit on your just your homepage, or would it be on all the pages?
Our customers tend to do exactly what you're saying. Single line of code. They tend to start on landing pages and their homepage.
Uh-huh.
And then they see that it works and they use this everywhere. And so they'll typically put that single line of code, just a template on their website on every page.
And then somewhere in your platform, you're telling, you have to tell IntelliMize like what a conversion event is. So like it's watching for the right sort of stuff. Like, for some of our customers, that might mean clicking all the way through to scheduling a demo, or for others, it might be purchasing something from a shopping cart or like an e-commerce, or registering a new account. So you guys would handle all of that, like regardless of what the conversion event is.
You nailed it, Ryan.
Cool.
And when we define what that is, whether it's those things or looking up a store location or dialing a phone number, we will then optimize for that digital action.
Got it. You know, I think I was particularly interested in having you on here and making sure that our customers are aware of this, because we get asked all the time, what is the ROI of content? Why should I be blogging regularly and optimizing my website copy? This all ultimately feeds together in an interesting way, whereas a lot of content, you're kind of passive about it. You write it, you publish it, and then you kind of wait and you cross your fingers maybe that everything flows properly. But while you might have decent conversions, you may get, you're selling stuff, you're getting appointments. If you really want to move the needle in that stuff and really want to optimize, which is a word that you said a lot on this podcast, it takes work, and it's like really hard work. And IntelliMize is taking that hard work and distilling it down and letting the machines, letting the computers do most of the heavy lifting. And you have to do a little bit of setup, but by the end of it, you're seeing lift and you're really benefiting from all of the blogging that you're doing to drive the traffic, which then gets converted into whatever those events you set as conversion events are. Makes a lot of sense, Guy. This is really neat, impressive product you've created here. How long did it take you guys to build it?
Ryan, thank you for the kind words. I'll take a half step back, if I may, to say we really share your vision. We really think that, you know, thinking through the right messaging for each one of your audiences, thinking through the content that will engage people at every level, whether that's the content guiding them through the site or the thought leadership that you're creating, really matter and really have an impact. And our most advanced customers are literally thinking about, hey, you know, how can I take this piece of content and actually change the messaging within it, try out different paragraphs, try out different structure of it. And we hope, as you said, to get rid of and automate essentially all of the experiment maintenance, so that marketers can focus on great content and coming up with more of it, because it makes such a difference. We see it in customer after customer. And the direct answer to your question is, it took us about a year. And there is plenty more to do. But fortunately, it's working really well.
Yeah. Yeah. Congrats again. I want to segue now over to some more personal questions just about how you operate as an entrepreneur. We talked a bit about this being your first CEO position, and that's near and dear to my heart as a first-time CEO, and seen the highs, felt the lows.
Right on.
What are you most scared of about being in this leadership position as you're taking on investors and growing the company? Like, what keeps you up at night?
For me personally, it's all time. It's easily the scarcest and most valuable commodity. And, I feel very fortunate to work with a great team, both team of operators and team of investors and team of friends. And so have confidence that we'll make it through the problems we run into. And there'll be plenty of them. And there'll be highs and there'll be lows, just as you said. The thing I think does keep me up at night is, I don't know, maybe we don't go after them in the right order, or maybe we go too deeply after one versus another, and find ourselves in a pickle that we didn't ever need to be in because we didn't go after them in the right way. And so we spend, we have a very iterative, agile approach to our work, and therefore think about what's the right next thing to work on all the time. It works really well for a small team. It'll be it'll necessarily need to morph as we become a larger team.
Yeah, that makes sense. And managing that,
how
well
about you? Is it
for you? I think understanding cash, like cash is front of mind for me these days. And if people have at all been following the trajectory of Scripted and watching my Medium posts, one thing that I unfortunately, unfortunately, am no longer afraid of is layoffs and like delivering that sort of news. I feel like that's a skill that I didn't mean to ever get. So it's like handling that stuff. I've kind of dealt with and moved past it, and now that we're really going for profitability, it's just managing cash and being able to say no to spending, and it's hard. It's very hard to say no to that when your team wants to spend and you have to say no.
Saying no is definitely a challenge.
Yeah. So that's a segue to my next question for you, which I ask every entrepreneur is, how do you prioritize and say no to things?
In my humble opinion, to be able to do that, you need to know what you're trying to achieve and what's not that important. And I don't think there's any shortcut to driving clarity about your goals and setting strategy to achieve them. I think once you have that clarity, then being practically transparent with yourself and others about it is key. I personally like to have our company's goals in front of me regularly. So I literally print them out, stick them on the wall in our office. I look at them multiple times a day, often while on calls that involve committing or not committing to doing something. I also think it's valuable to be aware of your constraints. You know, yours as an individual, the constraints of those on your team. Like, for example, if you happen to value knowing your family, which we do as a company, that means, 100-hour weeks are not an option to solve a problem.
Yep.
There are other options. And being transparent about goals and constraints then makes changing timelines, scope of commitments, or simply saying no a bunch easier, I believe. I believe giving that additional context helps make decisions feel less like playing favorites and more like a rational choice, which then helps avoid, hurt feelings and helps preserve personal and business relationships. Yeah. My take. Does that resonate for you?
Yeah, that's great. That's great. I think transparency around the framework, around the rationale to make decisions, not only helps you as the decision maker, as the CEO, but helps your team understand why you're doing what you're doing. And then ideally, if you're consistent, they may not even bring up questions because they're going to know how you will respond, because they already know your framework. And that just helps everybody run more efficiently. So I like that a lot. What about any other morning or evening productivity hacks, like things that you do regularly to boost your productivity?
Two come to mind. I think knowing how your own energy ebbs and flows during the day is a real one. Like, we all naturally have the day where where we've got more energy, think clearly and quickly, more so, and more easily see the forest from the trees. For me, that happens to be morning through midday, and then late evening. And then we have natural parts of the day where we have low energy. For me, that's usually late afternoon. And so I try to put big strategic pieces of work in the morning when I have more energy, and more either rote execution or administrative tasks in the late afternoon. That's one. And the other one, I happen to find tracking my time super helpful, since it's the scarcest, most valuable thing I have. I made up a simple low time cost way to do that. I think the method is irrelevant. The being able to look back on each week and see how I spent my time and adjust for it in the following week is super helpful, particularly in a startup, as the thing that's important changes all the time, not because of poor planning, but because, you know, you've got wide roles to cover many bases. And so you finish something in one area, you got to go to another, and you got to make sure that you actually did move your time around to go help you be more effective in that environment.
Now, I just have to ask, is this like a pencil and paper system? Is it a spreadsheet? Like, what are you doing to actually track your time?
For me personally, it happens to be a spreadsheet. Then the buckets in which I bucket the time are, they change as the work changes. So like the buckets I'm using now are different than the buckets I was using at BrightRoll, reflecting the different job. And since the goal is really to direct your own time, like, I don't care if it's not exactly right. It really doesn't matter. It's just generally telling me, hey, where did the time go? And you get to the end of the week and you're like, wait a minute, that was my most important thing, but I spent like 4 hours on it last week. How could that be my most important thing? I didn't allocate my time correctly. Let me go change that.
Oh, that's cool. And then do you do that like at the end of the day or throughout the day?
For me personally, I found it works best to do it actually in real time. So as I'm flipping between one thing or another. Yep. And I must admit, the idea is not mine at all. For me, it came from Drucker in one of his management books. He suggested it. And I thought, God, this sounds like it takes a lot of time to just manage your time. And it took a little bit of refining to frankly make it no time at all. It's just, now it's like flipping between screens on a computer. I'll make sure I update this thing every so often. If it did take a lot of time, I wouldn't do it.
That's great. That's one of the more tactical answers that, I've ever heard to that question. So Guy, I'm gonna yield back some time to do whatever else is next on your to-do list, and we can wrap this up. Thank you so much for joining and telling our audience about Intellimize and the great work that you're doing there. If people want to get in touch to learn more about Intellimize, what's the best way for them to do that?
Please come visit us at Intellimize.com, and we look forward to getting to know you. And Ryan, thank you for having us. It's a privilege to join you. I've enjoyed knowing you for years and look forward to many more.
Sounds good.